So I've been kind of collecting up notes that were going around by email. Elizabeth proposed that we provide a progress report to the audience of collaborators.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's...
Oh, no, it's moving too fast.
So Elizabeth, I wasn't sure from this email from yesterday or the day before that you were referring to the previous one, I believe. So maybe what we should do is just kind of start here. So it's the start time is 5:30. So let's just kind of make a timeline of what we would cover. It's not 5:30 a.m., it's 5:30 p.m. So maybe welcome and introductions. And then the first session, present the progress.
Mm-hmm.
Objectives of the Plantiome and present progress.
Introduce Plantiome and then the progress.
So what do we maybe 15 minutes is better for that, do you think, or?
No, it will take about 20 minutes.
15, 20 minutes, okay.
Your introduction, welcome and introductions would take about 15 minutes too.
Yeah. Maybe 10. I don't know how many people we'll have. Maybe 10 minutes would be good by the time we get everybody in. So this puts us to about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Down here. Okay, so 6 p.m. Okay, so Elizabeth, you had proposed that we do a presentation on a use case of the set of annotated data.
Yeah.
Let me just see what these other notes say.
So Austin is already working on, has already got the rice one. And is there a way to find a cassava and germplasm phenotype data? I thought there was one, but I don't know exactly where it is.
I think Marie Angelique has been working on this. Do you have an update? Do you have any, did you manage to get some cassava data?
Yes, I did.
So are you coordinating with Austin how to curate that?
I look at the association files that were on the SVN. And from that,
No, so I think that is a good idea, but I sincerely suggest, since Austin is right now annotating the right, we pulled out how many, Austin, was about 10, 15 traits for about 415 germplasms that went into GWAS study.
Yeah, that's about right.
So he's trying to formalize where the pieces of information goes, and he has a test version of Ontology Browser where you can actually see the data after you load it to make sure that it is looking correct.
Okay, and just have a question regarding this point, regarding the data. Do the data need to be only a score, or can we have numerical data as well?
You can have any kind of data.
Okay, because the properties that you are using to annotate the data is, yeah, quite confusing, I think.
No, so let's take a look at if you can show us what the data looks like.
Yeah, I can show you.
Then we may, after this initial round of planning, and then we can.
Yeah. Yes. Could we just finish the agenda first?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's a good idea, and then we'll come back.
Time.
So Rose, we have been discussing this, and we've got her set up so that she can submit to the SVN.
Right, so we have rice and cassava, let's say the germplasm data, and then we have genome annotations from, we will have genome annotations from about 50, 61 species. That would be Go annotation.
Okay, so what we need to decide though is who's going to present this and how long it's going to be, and maybe this, I actually think that we need to maybe give them a little overview of the ontologies in the Plantome, but maybe that would come under the introduction.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, let me just make a sub point here so we kind of know. And who is going to do this first part?
I can do that.
You're going to do it? Okay. Okay, so this is going to cover what on okay, and this is going to be, oh gosh, okay. So this presentation at 6 o'clock for the use case, this would involve showing the Amigo 2 browser, correct?
Yeah.
With the ontologies interacting with the trait ontology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sort of like we did with the lentil.
Mm-hmm.
The lentil example.
Mm-hmm.
So do we want to have, right now, I think we're going to have the mappings to lentil, cassava, rice, and soybeans. So do we want to have all four of them on there?
Show how the annotation shows up there, and then how the mappings work is a separate, we should do a separate presentation.
Right, but if we want to show that we have to have the cassava annotations, I mean, if we want to have the cassava ontology loaded with the Amigo, with the trait ontology, correct, to show the annotations?
No, it can go with the trait ontology right now.
I think you have to do the mappings first, because part of the annotations is picking the trait.
Yeah. Austin, I can't hear you.
Yeah. It's too far.
Can you hear me now?
Better. Yeah.
I can hear you from outside of the door.
I can hear you. Okay.
So just step in the Pankaj office.
I think that the annotations require a mapping, a trait to be mapped.
Right.
Yes.
So it, going over the mapping first might be positive.
It might make more sense to people if we did that. That actually is a good idea. If we kind of talk about this, the workshop, that would make more sense. Maybe if we do the overview of the workshop.
I think that comes in the very first part where we did the mappings, the 531 introduction. Because I will be able to show what we did.
I would like to stress that regarding the workshop, I would like to have some specific feedback for the CGIS centers who were represented there. Because
yes,
we will have CG centers in the audience, and we had three of them in the workshop. So it would be also good to have a moment where you present what has been done already for the plant, for the crops of those three centers, and things like that. So
I don't know when, but... So this was the note. Does this kind of cover what you were just saying, Elizabeth?
So this one takes somewhat close to between 6 to 6:30 you're improving TO and opening up a discussion.
Yeah, we can mention the workshop into that. It was the workshop for start initiating that work and present what has been done. Mm-hmm. And okay. You can have the use case if you prefer.
So this is more like about 20 minutes probably.
Yeah. And we can enable questions, of course.
Yeah.
So when does our workshop ends at what time? 7:30?
7:30, yeah.
7:30. What time do they take the dinner?
Well, that's up to us to decide. What time would you like it to be?
Yeah, I didn't know where to put it.
Maybe if we did it at 6:30. So if we did the welcome and introduction, then we do this session, improving the TO and presenting the mappings and stuff that we did at the workshop, or since the workshop. And then at 6:30, we could break, get some food, and then talk about the use case on the data.
Yeah. So we have all the presentations and something more applied. Yeah.
6:30 to 7 would be dinner time, but okay. It's a working dinner at that point in time. People can go by, and we will have to give them 15, 20 minutes for everybody to get the dinner.
Right.
Yeah, to fetch the food and sit back, perhaps.
Yeah, so maybe about
30 minutes.
I don't know if we would need 30, but maybe 15, and then people could get their food and sit down. And
exactly.
The problem is this room, I think, is set up like, it's not going to be set up with tables. It's going to be set up with
chairs
and like a lecture style.
Okay, yeah, like other sessions.
So, you know, that's a consideration if we're serving like this dinner type food. Are people just going to balance it on their laps or
whatever? That's not nice.
Maybe it's table. Better to leave the food to the end. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought there would be a table like once we did such an evening meeting and there was a table.
How about we leave the dinner at 7 and then it ends and we can continue discussing?
Okay, that might work better.
And if people want to leave, if some people want to leave, they do, they can. They are not interested by the discussion.
Yeah, and you can ask Mark Yanker to start setting up the dinner by 6:30.
Okay. And so this would be 7 p.m. would be the break for dinner.
Yep.
Okay.
No, 7. Yes,
that's what I've got.
7 or 7:15, whenever we are done with some demos. Yeah. I think at least we are done with our part.
Until the end, yeah.
It's open for discussion at that point of time.
Yeah. That sounds good. All right, so maybe we just have to flesh this out. So we need to decide who's presenting what here. I could do this section on the TO and the mappings.
Yeah.
Elizabeth. Where Marie and I should talk then. I think it's important we also...
Elizabeth, I think you should moderate this 6 p.m. one and Lowell can present. And then Lowell and Marie can together present because it's both automated and manual.
Yeah, because Marie did some work on cassava, on lentil and legumes, and I think... It's worth showing that to the, at least the minimum, the CG centers will be interested and mention the work of our colleagues.
Right. This one would be maybe Marie. So maybe I could do the first half and Marie could do the second half.
And I think what we should end up, let's say 10 minutes for you and then next 30, 10 minutes for recommendations for recommendations from the group or suggestions or feedback. Yeah, and not going too much into detail kind of thing, but half an hour you can't do much, basically.
Yeah. But that would be nice if the people present in the room can at least know if they have an ontology, how they can contribute to the TO, how the mapping has to be done, if they have already mappings in their ontology, or if they have already formal definition, like the FLOPO ontology, we got a mail about that. It would be really nice to have a sort of,
I think that's a good
for the contribution.
And we can kind of show what we've done with this, the small group that came to Corvallis as a model, sort of.
Yeah, and you can explain the workflow or anything you have decided that could be discussed.
And even the term genie stuff, or
Yeah, so that's something we should talk about. Are we gonna demonstrate work term genie?
Because the
two kind of the audience bugs out of it, but by then it'd be better.
I would expect the audience to be in that session to learn more about where Planteum project is today, how crop ontology and Planteum collaborate, and also, if they have crops, how they can contribute. And if they have tools, if they are bioinformatics people, they would ask, okay, how do I use what you're doing? Where do I get the ontologies? Do you have any tools I can easily embed into my own pipeline? Things like that, probably. Right. Because you will have people from Elixir, people.
Okay. Yeah. So term genie, and then at 6:30 when you do the annotations, I don't know. I think at the 6:31 we should include the API section.
Okay, I'll put that down.
APIs and ontologies for distribution, access to data. And within parentheses, you can have ontologies, annotation, and APIs.
So currently, we don't have any APIs, right?
We have APIs. Amigo does provide APIs. Because the back end of the ontology browser that Amigo 2.0 that we are using, it's all driven by internal APIs, but many of those are also can be exposed and opened up. Is that right, Justin?
Sorry, what was that?
So Seth was showing us the APIs from the Amigo 2.0. So we should be able to open up those APIs for access.
You mean like the web service kind of stuff?
Yes.
It's still in a large state of flux. I don't know how stable it'll be by then.
But there are a few that can be, that are available.
There are some. I guess the ones that Botong and I are working on are new.
Yeah.
But ones that deal with the ontology itself, I think, are pretty stable, but ones with the annotations are not.
Yeah. So I think in the very beginning, what the CG centers need is the API to begin with for the ontologies. Mm-hmm. And then as we move along, we will also provide the APIs distributing the annotation.
Right.
Yeah. So Justin, what we need is a page with descriptions about how to use the APIs and can be accessed from the Planteum 1.0 when we release the Amigo 2.0.
Okay. I mean, I know there's a page on the Go side. I don't know if we have stuff on ours exactly.
But it should work exactly the same for us.
It should.
So we should be able to replicate much of the content, but then make sure that it is working.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Pankaj, for the sixth session, I will be the moderator, but what about the other sessions? Are you trying to get moderators?
6:31, I can do that.
Among the Plantium project people?
Which one, the top one? The 6:30?
Yeah, you have 1, 2, 3 sessions, and only the sixth session as me as a moderator, so 5:30 and 6:30.
5:30, Lol, do you want to do it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you and
it's simple. I can do that. That's not a problem.
This is basically just a welcome and introductions, and then Pankaj will introduce the project.
It's the moderator is a timekeeper as well, and a question.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be the moderator. I'll be the timekeeper here. In case Pankaj goes too long.
It's important to keep the timing of the first session, otherwise all the rest is
absolutely yes. Okay, and then the second session, Elizabeth will do that. That's a good point, Elizabeth. Thank you for mentioning that. Elizabeth will moderate that and handle questions and direct questions and so on. Mm-hmm. And then Pankaj will moderate this one. So who's going to present the use case here?
Austin.
So Austin is going to do this one. Okay, good.
Can Mari present something on that? Because she has been working hard since several days, extracting Cassava data from BMS, aligning them in your format.
Yeah. I think Austin and Mari, can you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can both do that.
Yeah. And yeah.
Thank you.
Austin can present rice and Mari presents cassava.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can fine tune together how they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and Austin, if you feel comfortable, you can do the Go annotations too. I can work with you to help you out on that.
Yeah.
How we did that.
Okay, let me put that down about the Go annotations. This is Go annotations on
61.
61?
About 60 plant genomes.
Okay. And as part of this, so I'm going to make these, kind of subcategories because this is all kind of parts. So this.
Right, so in the use cases, you can say germplasm is AM mal, and then Go annotation AM.
Okay. Germplasm. Oops. If I could spell it right. It would be plasm. There we go. And then Go annotations.
AM.
And this will include the Amigo browser. So I'm going to actually
move
up. I'm going to actually move this up. And you'll have Google Docs.
And then access to data is a separate section.
It's a separate session. Oops, I'm going to make that. Good.
Yes.
And shall I do that one?
Feel free.
I'll have to work with Justin on that because I'm not absolutely clear on the API issues yet, but.
Yeah, you don't have to say, but say that it's available through API. We don't need the presentation. I believe there would be Wi-Fi there, right?
But yes, there should be Wi-Fi.
Have
I don't know how good it will be, but.
We should have a screenshot running anyhow.
No. Yeah. And then, so I guess on each of these sessions, we'll have time for questions and
So the only thing, perhaps before we have the session, we still have some time, for the discussion while people eat and discuss, do you have any question you would like to prepare to guide a little bit the discussion, or just would you like an open floor discussion
for the last session? You mean for this last?
Yeah.
I think we should look for suggestions and recommendations for how to annotate and integrate ontologies in the workflow, and how to invite community on enriching the reference ontologies.
Because otherwise, the last 30 minutes, if we don't have an idea of what we would like to have as big points to be discussed, we may end up with a freestyle discussion. It will be difficult to take notes.
Yeah, and announce a follow-up meeting for August 2016.
Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Let me just capture this last thought that you said.
What are the next steps?
This section actually all goes in the 7 to 7:30 p.m.
Okay. 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 Let me move this up.
Yeah, some announcements. We'll be discussing workshops in DeepSeek.
Yes.
We may have follow-up ideas.
So under these and upcoming workshops, we have the ICPO meeting we'll mention, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are still trying to organize a workshop sometimes in May this year on ontologies, metadata, and phenotyping,
mm-hmm,
with a John contribution. So it's I had no time to progress much, but I will try to progress the coming weeks.
So would that be a DeepSeek one?
Yeah, we would like it to be under a DeepSeek umbrella, and this will be one of the workshops we will put on the table on Friday.
Okay.
The DeepSeek roundtable.
And this would be in Montpellier.
Yeah, we aim at having it in Montpellier.
So is it possible that we do a co-organize with Plantium, so that if you need some help, we can do that?
Yeah, the Plantium workshop discussion in DeepSeek, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
You want to bring the ICBU? So
No. Wait, when you're trying to organize the meeting at Montpellier, under the DeepSeek umbrella, that's the one which you're trying to do in May, April or May.
Yeah.
If you want, Plantium can join as co-organizers.
We
can fund some part.
You could fund some travels, I suppose. When we discussed with Ruth, we said that it would be also a Plantium, of course, one.
So then then whatever we present here, we also reiterate back there, and it's
And we can go a bit more in details because we had the idea to propose some hands-on session as well. So if you need some practical sessions to follow up, we can. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay.
So that proposal has to be sent in by the end of December.
For the workshop?
Yes.
In fact, I'm just still contacting people possibly interested. Yesterday, we had a meeting with Pascal Neveu representing Phenoscape, which is the high-throughput phenotyping platform in Montpellier, and he is also interested by that workshop. So I'm still trying to build the expression of interest around it and then develop a rationale about the workshop that we can share.
So is John Boone? So is John Doonan going to be part of that?
So the only thing that is secured for now from Ruth and John is a BBSRC contribution. They will use a BBSRC budget to put £10,000 into that workshop for sessions on phenotyping particularly.
Mm-hmm.
Meda also would be interested, but I don't know if she has the budget secured yet. Meda Devare from CGI would be interested to have a session as well. So
is this the budget to support travel for everybody?
It depends where you come from. I didn't really put the budget all together, but I would say that should be around $3,000 per person for the flights, the accommodation, something. Depends if we do it a week long or not.
I don't mind doing a week long if we can have some folks coming from CG centers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the similar exercise we did it here on the mapping. I can just say, go ahead and do, we may be able to support some folks to come over there.
Okay.
If it's cheaper, so, because instead of bringing them to US, it might be cheaper to bring them.
Okay. I will finalize a draft document about the workshop, and then I'm sharing it as a Google Drive doc.
And you actually have some plenty of money, so you are free to use some of that towards organizing that workshop.
I have $5,000 for travels, Pankaj.
Just five?
Yeah.
I thought we get 10. But go ahead and use that. You can use some of that money to set up your meeting venue or something like that. Mm-hmm. And if you need more travel, we may be able to cover some other things.
Yeah. We have also, I'm trying to get things being done quickly with the French people, because they may also submit a request for support to Agropolis Foundation, which mm-hmm. is the French foundation here. And they sometimes give some support money to workshops. So I'm aiming at having something ready by 8th of January for the French.
Yeah.
But I think it may be written in French, so I need to check.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, excuse me.
Okay. So perhaps we can discuss that during PAG, of course, all those workshops as well. And the fact that we discuss them in DeepSeek as well, we may have a good follow-up points for the session on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So, Lal, make sure that when you see more folks coming from PPPP and the Ag Databases group,
you
might have to increase the number of meals that we're going to order.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. We'll try to get a head count from them. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So for
this looks good.
I think it looks good. Yeah.
For the agenda, it looks good. I may share with the people who said they will come. So, are you comfortable with me? Share that simplified agenda with the CGIAR people, or shall
Let's do one thing before we start sharing. Can we put a meeting page on the Plantium website?
I think that's a good idea.
And have the agenda and the venue and everything listed there, so that Elizabeth can share the meeting page.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe the Term Genie tool is maybe too specific for this.
You don't have to mention it right now, but we will just say tools for community participation. And
I think it's important to mention that not the naming the tools.
Right.
Tools for community participation.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so once you have that set up on your website, I can send the mail.
And so this section over there, how can other groups contribute? That's part of the tools for community participation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can refine that and then come up with a page on the Plantium website under outreach, and then we should be able to have that page being circulated with everybody.
Yeah, that sounds good. Justin, can you help with that?
Can we make a mailing list out of the names that are in the...
We can actually. We have actually a workshop mailing list, and I can put all those people in it.
Okay.
Right. And what else I was thinking? Yeah, and Justin, you may be able to create a section or a tab outreach, and under that outreach could be just the meetings. and workshops.
On the Amigo 2 page or on the Drupal page?
Drupal.
Yeah, okay.
That's great. And I can work with you on that. And
outreach, make a main outreach, then two subsections on it would be workshops and meetings, and then another one would be STEM. And then you have the STEM one.
Okay, good. So I think this gives us a kind of a good structure for the workshop, for the Plantium project session. We were discussing at the beginning what we should call this. And Elizabeth suggested maybe we shouldn't call it the curator workshop because it's not going to be all curators that are there.
Plantium collaborators meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, how's that sound? I'll change this. Plantium collaborators workshop.
Oops. At PAG 2016.
Yes. Well, this is just a Google Doc title, but that can help us. Yes. Good. Okay, we're kind of getting down to the end of the hour. Are there any other things about the workshop that we should discuss?
For now, no, not on our side, I think.
Yeah, and Elizabeth, I can set up those. We'll get this set up on the website, and I can get the mailing list set up.
Okay.
And so. Yeah. So this part down here was more just kind of some notes about this won't be part of the agenda, of course. Yeah.
Because what we could do is to send an information mail to all the people who said they would come. Mm-hmm. On behalf of the project team, for example.
Somebody sneezed there, so I missed the last part of what you said. Send information email.
We can send a single information email to all the participants of the workshop on the behalf of the project team. So.
Absolutely. I can't spell this morning. There. Planty. I think my computer would know how to spell Plantium by now.
Yeah.
Okay. Workshop mail list. And I'm going to make a note to invite the PPPP folks. That's the Plant Phenotype Pilot Project folks and the Ag Biodata. And we have a meeting of the Ag Biodata on Monday morning, so I can follow up with people, maybe make an announcement. We'll send out an invite to them ahead of time and see if we can get, because we'll need to get a head count of who we think are coming. Might be good to find out what the maximum capacity of that room is, too.
Can you open up a Google Doc for them and they can just add their name?
Yeah. Yeah, I can coordinate it. Don't worry about that, Pankaj. Yeah. It might be kind of complicated to invite, like, everybody from the Ag Biodata to one Google Doc because there's, like, 80 people on the mailing list. Anyway, I can coordinate that. Don't worry about it. Yeah. So, the other things we were going to talk about today, is there any other workshop stuff we should mention? I think this kind of covers it.
Yeah, and if we think about something, we can still add later. I think what would be good is now if we can ask Marie to show the data she has and Faustine, but if we are fine with the agenda. Because it's just that time is flying.
Yes, it is. I know it's getting late there.
So, yeah, because my husband is my driver today. And
do we want to look at some of the data or? What do we want to do? The other thing we were going to talk about was maybe some of the changes we've been making in the TO, but we can always keep working on that and talk about that next time.
Yeah, because I think it's important to have the data right because it's a use case we want to show. Yeah. And after Christmas, then first Eve, it will be very short. So
right.
We can just, if you don't mind.
Yes, absolutely. Marie, why don't I stop sharing? You have something you'd like to show us? I'll turn off my share here.
So, can you see my screen? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this is a data set that I got from the BMS.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a Cassava data set. So what I have to do is we got this weird abbreviation in the name, so I have to check in the BMS.
Root length and root color.
Yeah. Those wind up from, this is from, yeah.
Yield.
Yeah, so but they have a different space in the tool where you can get the ID from those specific abbreviations, so that's okay. And then what I did is I just look for the thread ID and the variable ID, because I didn't know if the annotation should be made using the variable ID or the thread ID.
Okay.
So what I did, I just did a script that read that file.
Yeah.
And then make a GAF2 kind of like a kind file. So I look at what Austin did, and I look at the GAF documentation.
So aspect is T, not trait. I think so.
I was just doing that to see if it would accept more than single letter.
Yeah. We can tweak that.
And so
I think we're going to, once we get this all put together, I think we're going to probably be using the TO.
Yeah,
instead of T.
And I think so far it's looking at, so can you show me the column number 16?
Yeah, sure. So, and I just...
Wait. I will repeat your column number 3, which is...
Number 3. This is a germplasm.
No, symbol. If there is no other name, repeat this one with the column number 10.
Okay. I was wondering that. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Germplasm is fine. Taxon ID, Mari, Angelique, assigned by this. And then has score 15 from country Colombia. Yeah, that's
And so I have a question regarding the country. Should it be the country of origin of the germplasm? So it's mean where the seed originally come from? Or do you want the country in which the trial has been made?
Now I get it. So this is coming from, can you show me your data set file?
Yeah. Oh, everything, this trial has been made in Colombia.
Has been done in Colombia.
So, yeah. The seed can come from everywhere else.
So I would just say, if you go back to your GAF2, instead of saying from country should be for source, evaluated in country.
Yeah, because I found Marie and I discussed that, and I agree with her that it makes things very weird. Because I went on Plantium to see the annotations, and it's evidence with has a phenotype score 7. From country Puerto Rico, but Puerto Rico is the origin of the germplasm and it's not where the trial occurred. So it let people think that the scoring was done in Puerto Rico.
No. So
you agree with that?
Austin, I think it's part of the SOP. We can say from country represents the source of the material.
Yeah.
And if trialed in country.
Rename that relationship like source country or
origin. Yeah. Or you can say source country and trial country or something.
Or like germplasm source.
Yeah. Country of
origin. It is already germplasm, so we don't have to mention that. We can just say source country is this and whatever it is, and then another one would be
trial location or something.
Trial location.
Yeah. Because that's a good idea. That'd be more clear.
In the multi-crop passport data, the MCPD, the country where the seeds has been collected originally, so the very top of the pedigree is the country of origin, while the source may be also the donor country. it doesn't mean that it is the country where the seed was originally taken from. It may be so.
I believe that as we see more of the passport data for this germplasm accession, we may be able to get more information. But yeah. Right now, we are limited by how this data is structured.
Yeah.
So whatever is available, whether it is from whatever is available at this point of time, whether it is the source or the trial location, that's what we should record and don't extend too much on that side.
Yeah, but I think in the future you could make the effort to be compliant to the MCPD because most of the germplasm is really following this standard. It's available on our crop ontology website, the very last version that was published 2 days ago.
Yeah, and in row number 31, I think has phenotype score, it's a null value there. I would, if you record, either you do not record it or you say NA, not available.
Yeah, okay.
Marie, I have one other observation. When you upload them, the Amigo 2 browser doesn't like having spaces in those parentheses. So for instance, in row 20, you have score 9 equals very high.
Okay.
It won't like that.
Okay, I will fix that.
You can just put an underscore in.
Yeah, it'll actually fail if there's a space there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Austin, what did you find out about column 8 versus column 16 with these?
Well, I have, if you guys want to go to the browser right now, you can see the difference between.
Okay, so why don't you share your screen with us?
And I can tell you what the difference was and how it was created. Why? Is, for example, a gene or a mutation was evaluated. That means you can say that this gene was evaluated in germplasm XYZ and score function or score variables are. So variables are always scored in there. In that case, in this example of a gene, you would say it was evaluated in germplasm so and so. That information goes in number 8, but nothing else. But not for the cases where the actual germplasm is being evaluated. So you would not use column 8 for this purpose.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't want Austin to show us how it looks.
I mean, that's what my understanding is. Feel free to show.
If Marie stops sharing, I can share.
Okay.
So actually what you can actually do, you can keep on, you can use column eight to show what is the source of your germplasm country. So from country, you can always use that.
So in my screen, can you guys see my screen?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Can you hear me? Everything?
Yep. Looks good.
So the first row here is the leaf blast. That was my test annotation. So I put the scores and country codes in column 8, and that's where they show up, is right here. And it shows it looks like just text of those. And then the rest of them are all in column 16. So that's the difference right there.
So the ones in column 16 don't have the parentheses, is that?
Yeah, or underscores in the relation.
So the Amigo takes those out?
Yeah, because it's that I added that relationship. I added has phenotype score.
Right.
And so you see that there's no underscores because it, I guess, understands that relationship.
I think it's because you put it in the OBO file.
Right.
As a relationship type. And there, I think you have it defined, you know,
yes,
if you see this with the underscore, this is what it actually means. And it does that translation for you.
So I added those relationships to
it.
And Justin, you're still working on changing these column headings, right?
Yeah, actually, I rearranged them to the way that you guys mentioned it to me.
Okay, so Austin,
yes.
You may be able to use column 8 because it has with or from for country Portugal.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
And then
put the phenotype
forward. That is yours. So you can use column 8 for your source country.
Okay.
But your trait evaluation location would be in your column 16.
Yeah, and that makes it less crowded looking too, I think. It will, because it'll be in different columns. But
and then people would be able to sort it out. These facets on the left-hand side would allow them to
and
filter.
Pankaj, I have a question. If you look at the foot length, it say as phenotype score 6.3. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this is in a numerical value. This is not a score.
It is a score. It is a score, which is an absolute score. It's not a scale.
Okay, so score can fit numerical value in categorical value.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And Justin, we talked about changing the names of these columns as well, right?
Yeah, and I believe I did from what my notes say.
So
the Panther family is no longer there. The
right.
Date column is no
but
longer.
This, like the column where it says gene or product, weren't we going to put like object there?
Object.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys wanted me to add an object.
No.
And I was trying to figure out what.
Just call it object. Just call it object ID and object name.
Oh.
Well, I thought we were going to do object, and then the next one would be object type, because it nowhere object in here does say germplasm.
It should say germplasm somewhere here. We need an object type column. Yeah.
It says germplasm up here when you click on the actual
right. link. And it should show up in the column, because we're going to have also gene annotations here
right.
as well.
Correct.
And I think I should be able, I mean, it's quite different, but I think I should be able to have some data for Longteal, so I can also have annotation files.
Yeah, wonderful. That'd be great. Yeah, because we've done quite a bit of work on the mapping with lentils.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, this is looking good.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'm going to flip the colors around, but.
Yeah, I don't think that's too much.
We talked about it yesterday. I think I'm going to flip it so the darker is the header and the lighter is for the odd rows.
Yeah. Can you make that text bigger for the headings?
It won't fit into the column.
It'll affect the column size, so it may no longer fit.
Well, maybe if you say object, it's not such a long name, because right now they're kind of running into each other.
True.
And the qualifier column, we're not really even using. I don't know if we need,
actually, qualifier is the column number 8 or whatever.
No, qualifier is like, I don't have it in front of me.
Oh, is a not.
It's like column 6 or
qualifier
something.
Qualifier is 4.
4, yeah. And generally, we don't even use that column, so.
You can hide that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It saves
you can hide that, and you can
maybe
hide.
Maybe you could replace hide. That with type, like. Type of annotation or something.
You can hide that and hide isoform.
And the isoform okay. as well, yeah.
So I'm a little bit confused. Do you want the first two columns there to be object and object type?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, object name.
Which is column 12?
No, it's column 3 usually when we have our normal. Like when you have a gene, usually you would have like the object ID and then the symbol, the gene symbol in that third column.
Okay. My question is though, is I'm getting confused as to what you actually want, because you have object, object name, and object type.
Right, but object type would be like germplasm.
Which is column 12?
12.
Okay, and that currently is not displayed at all?
It's not displayed at all.
Okay, that might take a little while to figure out, because I have to interact with the Solar database to figure to
yeah.
add that. But like renaming them and moving them around in order is pretty trivial to do.
Okay.
But adding one might be difficult. I yeah. haven't figured it out yet.
I think this is looking good.
Yeah.
So I would say, Mari and Austin, go ahead with the annotations that we just discussed.
Okay.
Yeah, good.
And Mari, if there is a way to link back to wherever you got your data, that would be fantastic too.
Yeah, but the data are not available online. So this is what you mean.
The BMS is not yet online.
Yeah.
The latest version is still a beta version being
tested. So can I see your file?
Yeah, sure.
Austin, you might have to
stop. Yeah, I'll stop.
Excuse me.
But I mean, I will.
So in your column number 1,
yeah.
Where is the column number 1?
So this is the plot number?
No, your GAF 2.
Ah, my GAF. This is a BMS.
What is column 1?
Now we're getting there.
BMS and then object. So if somebody goes to BMS, they would be able to see that?
That's why we, yeah, no, not yet. Because this is from a developing version, or yeah, they are still
for
developing
the moment, it's on a development server. It's
so
not
is this coming from the BMS version that the data was, did you collect this data from the Cassava base?
Not no. From Cassava base, from because those data are not from IATI, they are from SIAT.
So they are from the BMS version 4, which is under still under test now. But perhaps we could discuss with the development team to see if they can make some fake links for the demo, at least, like if BMS4 was online.
Yeah, at least this set of lines. If we can have a link established based on the object ID 90519.0, what is that?
Yeah, it's not 0.0. This is a mistake. This is a mistake. It should not be 0.0. It should be just that.
So what is happening here?
No, it just.
It's the Excel.
Yeah, it's just because I copy the TVS, TSV file in Excel, you know, and he saw that's a number, and so, yeah.
No, that is fine.
You can change.
So as long as we can connect this ID to the SIAT germplasm database somewhere, that would be fine. If not, you just click it, connect it to the SIAT web page. But ideally,
yeah, but the thread data are not on the SIAT database. They are in the in the BMS.
No, data is in the BMS, but this particular line, which is called CM1015-16, should exist in SIAT germplasm repository.
Yes.
If it is there, then we just connect it to that.
Okay, and where should I put this information? In which column?
You would not put that column. You would provide the URI.
Okay.
Connect to Justin Elser. He will add to his Crossref library.
Good. Yeah, that's great. And we should do the same with the GRIN data.
That's what we already have. Austin actually has that.
Yeah,
it's very accessible.
We're working on getting the link. For some reason, it recirculates to the Go paper.
I'm sorry, Austin. I can't hear what you're saying.
We don't have the link working quite yet.
But you're working on it.
Yes.
By the way, I meant to send you a message about that. They did ask us to do upstream pull requests on their master DBXref file. That is where it's getting pulled from.
Oh, so we can add.
So yeah, I'll send you the link, but just it's on their GitHub, and we just pull it down and or clone it into our own repo, make changes, and then ask for a pull request.
Okay.
Good.
It's YAML format, so it's a little bit different, but it should be pretty easy to figure out.
Yeah, that's pretty easy to work with.
And Elizabeth, if this, do you think that this germplasm information might be available in Genesis that you showed?
Yes,
some of them are, yes.
Yeah.
The only thing is Genesis has no API, unfortunately. They have a very strict data sharing thing. So we wanted to contact Mattia Obreja, who is in charge of Genesis, to check if he can provide us at least.
So if Murray Anjelik, if you want to share this information with them, that is fine. Tell them that we want to connect this line information in Genesis. What is the best URI, that generic URI that we can use? We don't need the API for that. We just need a stable hyperlink to connect. And then we can always send the user to this database.
But the problem is for the URIs, they are using internal ID for each accession. So the CM1015, you know, etc. I mean, the URI won't contain this name. It will contain an internal number. So that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for me. That look, if we go to Genesis, and we look for this accession. See, you will find the accession, but then if you go for the permanent URL, this is a link.
No, but if there is an ID on the top, if you go, keep going.
Yeah, but the ID, this is an internal ID.
This is not the idea. But
there was a search page. Can we just put the? Can we just right now direct them to the URI? Remember the URL that you have, cm+1015-16. We can send our users to this page.
Yeah, this would be a good page.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because this shows the germplasm where it was collected from and.
Yeah.
There you have the origin.
Yes. So we can send our users to the previous screen.
Okay.
So we don't have to worry about CR.
Okay.
So in this case, what would happen is, so you would use the column number, I think 18.
15?
No, very last column, I guess. So let me check.
17.
GAF 2.0. I'm just going to tell you something. Okay, so if you go to the column number 1.
One.
Yes.
Yeah.
Column 1.
Yeah.
So BMS, okay. So I think your database object, the very column number is data object name, right? I don't know, what is the object source?
Right, one is the database.
Yeah, so the DB would be Genesis in that case.
So you don't want the database of the data, you want the one of the
job. I'm telling you. And BMS, BMS colon 905190 would go in your assigned by column number 15. They are the ones who actually assigned it, did the annotation. That it goes in column number 15. So you can assigned by Murray
and
and I think it allows multiple values. So you can pipe it and say.
That's not usually how we do these.
That's how the Go does it, because let's say if the data comes from UniProt, but I annotated it and there is no other source, so that's how I would link, but I will say, who curated that?
Let me just double check.
I don't know.
But, and this is the internal ID for the BMS. So
you would say BMS colon.
Okay, BMS and a pipe.
And pipe would be your name. After the pipe, that should be your name, I guess.
Column 15 has a cardinality of one. You can only have one thing in that column.
One?
Yep.
So extensions.
Yeah, I don't think we can do it there.
You can use column number 617.
617?
17.
17.
Gene product ID form is the column number 17. You can just use BMS colon.
Okay, like that. So the database and then the internal ID of the database.
Right.
Okay.
And if you go to the first two columns, one would be DB would be Genesis, and you can repeat the object symbol there because that's how you're connecting to that. If Genesis can provide you their object ID, like you saw that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. This one, you mean?
Yes, if they can provide you that, that's what you're going to fill in your column number 2. If not, just repeat your.
Yeah, because we have to be careful because Genesis is very strict with the usage of their data. So that's why I didn't.
Yeah. So if you can continue. If they can provide you that number, that is fine. If not, you can keep on using C15, and this is what and tell Justin Elser how. Okay. How to connect to Genesis, and then there will be a link to Genesis.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do here is that, let's say if I have UniProt data in my database,
Yeah.
So I'm, and I want users to come to my database. So I would provide my database name and my database ID. But in the column number 17, I will say that original source is from UniProt.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what we are saying. Original source is from BMS, but we want the users to go and collect, get more information from here about the germplasm from here.
Okay.
And if BMS, you know, if Genesis wants to store this data, they are more than welcome to take this data from us.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, but we need to give them an API or something.
No, no, they don't need an API. They can just take this tab delimited file and embed it in there.
Ah, okay, okay, okay. Sure.
Okay. I think this is looking good. If you can do it that way, and then let's test it on the ontology browser that Austin is working on, and let's check how we see the annotations for rice and cassava, and then we move forward.
Yeah, good.
Good, excellent.
Okay, and just have a question, Austin. Which tool do you use for SVN?
For SVN, I just do it from the command line.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But there is a talk to Lol and Elser. They know how to set up the SVN on Mac.
Okay.
I don't really know.
Yeah, I just use the command line too. So
okay, but so I have the cool. Yeah, okay. So for the,
but Marie Angelique might need.
I can help you with it. Yeah, I can help.
Might need a read and write access.
Right, we've already set that up.
Good, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Yep, that's all done.
I have to leave now. But
yeah, and I can help you, Marie, if you need help with
okay.
Submitting.
Thank you, everyone, for an excellent job.
Thank you. Yeah, it's looking good. And we'll just keep working on the mappings and the TO and these annotations, and we'll talk again soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine. If I don't talk to you guys before then, have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you.
I have a hard time believing it's like a week from now.
It's very close now.
Yeah, so, I haven't bought any presents yet.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, the best is to buy it the day, the 24th.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, the 26th. On the 26th, yeah. That's even better.
Well, I live way out in the country, and we got 5 inches of snow last night. So I actually
how beautiful.
Last night. Yeah, but I don't want to go driving in it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what they have the internet for.
Yeah, Amazon. Baby.
But you can have Amazon drones that can, you know.
That's right. All right, everybody. We're probably going to have a meeting on the 29th. It's not like a formal ontology meeting, but I'll be back to work. Austin will be back to work. And I think Marie Angelique said she'd be willing to talk to us. So, you know, we can touch base then. That's 2 weeks from now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, happy holidays, everybody.
All right.
You too, okay. All of you. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Bye. Bye.